Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, the Singapore Exchange Regulation recently published a paper on ESG, that's environmental, social and corporate governance and diversity, highlighting the need for boards to have a diversity policy.
Well, this would potentially include targets, accompanying plans, and a description of how the combination of skills and diversity of directors in the board serves the needs of the issuers.
But what is the state of board diversity in Singapore at the moment, and what's needed to help companies equip themselves with the necessary tools to navigate diversity and compliance? Well, we're going to find out now from Alvin Chiang, consultant at Russell Reynolds Associate. Alvin, thank you so much for joining us this Friday evening.
Hi, guys. Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you with us. So, Alvin, let's start off. Talk to us about the current state of diversity on the boards here in Singapore at the moment.
Well, I'm seeing quite a wide range when it comes to diversity. The larger listed companies here tend to be fairly diverse, with directors having relevant and varied experiences coming from various markets, industry segments, so on and so forth. Now, as we start going down into the smaller companies, however, and this may be a bit of a generalization, you'll start to realize that the directors on those boards start to look more and more like each other. So if you take gender, for example, which is one of the more obvious proxies for diversity, as of December 2020, the proportion of female directors in our top 100 listed companies stands at 17.6%. And when you include the rest of the Singapore Exchange, this becomes 12.7%, and it's almost a 5% drop. So the good news is that there clearly has been progress made over the years, though the data provided by the Council for Board Diversity suggests that most of the headway in recent years was made by the larger companies.
So, Alvin, how does a corporate governance ecosystem work here in Singapore in particular?
So the corporate governance system here in Singapore actually is on a comply or explain basis. So in our code of corporate governance in Singapore, what it's required is a disclosure on the diversity policy of the company.
Okay, so talk to us, and you mentioned some numbers in terms of where we are in terms of board diversity for listed companies here in Singapore. You mentioned that 12 point something percent. How does this compare to regional markets and other regional trends?
On gender, I would say that in the context of Asia-Pacific, we're somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
The average proportion in the region stands at around 15%. You have Australia that's way up front with over 33% female representation, but, you know, that's because they've been at it for the better part of the decade. What I think I could add is that, you know, countries are becoming a bit more proactive in advocating greater gender diversity. South Korea, for example, recently revised its Capital Markets Act, requiring companies with assets of more than 2 trillion won to have at least a female director on the board.
We're also seeing a significant lack of female representation on boards here in Singapore. Is this a talent issue, or are there other factors in play here?
I'm pretty much convinced that this is not an issue of talent. I mean, look around us. There's no lack of capable and talented women in the corporate space.
Thank you, Alvin.
Many of my own mentors are women, and I have them to thank for where I am today. No, I feel it's more to do with the director appointment process. Mm. But before I go further, full disclosure, part of what Russell Reynolds does involves director appointment. So I am, in a way, kind of conflicted in saying so.
Okay.
But that said, another corporate governance advocate, Professor Mark Yantin, also suggested the same thing in an article published in yesterday's Business Times, and I fully echoed its sentiment.
So what is this barrier then? Why is this hiring or appointment process stifled when it comes to female representation on boards here in Singapore? We're quite an open economy, right, in terms of progress that we've seen on the Singapore Exchange as well. So what's going on?
This lack of diversity happens because many boards tend to rely on internal networks to source for directors. And more likely than not, the types of candidates shortlisted as a result tend to be quite similar to those who do the recommending, you know, like the birds of a feather flock together kind of thing. But to be fair, this isn't a phenomenon that's unique to Singapore. In Malaysia, where we surveyed 104 public companies on the back of its corporate governance code revision, we found that 88% of independents were sourced through internal networks off the board or major shareholders. I suspect this would be the case if we were to replicate the survey here in Singapore.
We're speaking with Alvin Chiang, consultant at Russell Reynolds and Associates. So, Alvin, let's talk about this recently published paper on board diversity by the Singapore Exchange Regulation Co. They spoke about feedback on board diversity policies, specifically targeting, you know, well, to include specific targets, accompanying plans, timeline for achieving stipulated diversity on boards. What does this mean for listed companies and where they are now? Do they really need to sit up and pay attention?
So I'm going to preface this by saying that this is certainly a step in the right direction. The recent release of the Singapore Corporate Governance Transparency Index last month revealed that only 56% of all listed companies here disclosed their board diversity policy, which is somewhat disconcerting as this is something that they should have the flexibility of designing themselves, targets and all. So why the hesitance, right? So let me dial it back a little and ask, what's the higher intent of having a diversity policy? The fundamental belief is that having a diverse board reduces the risk of groupthink and elevates board performance. So what this means for affected companies is their boards need to define and articulate what aspects of diversity are going to be beneficial to the company in the long run and work those requirements into their succession planning.
All right, Alvin. So what support do you think will be needed, though, from a macro level institution?
So one of the things that could be considered is, you know, very similar to what the U.S. is currently thinking of, is to provide some exposure or funding to companies that are thinking of building diversity into their boards. They encourage engagement of firms like ours to help them search for diverse candidates so that they can make the decisions of comparing against those that they have on hand and whether it makes sense to include new different candidates for consideration.
Okay, well, Alvin, you know, there's so much that we could talk about here. I feel that there's so much that we haven't covered. We're just going to have you back on the show because time has run away with us this evening.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We've been speaking with Alvin Chiang, consultant at Russell Reynolds Associate. We've been talking about the importance of board diversity here in Singapore and, of course, that Singapore Exchange Regulation, the recently published paper on board diversity and board policy as well. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.